Message for a message this morning. I've titled the message, Surrender to the Will of My Father. Back in April of 1865, the Army of Virginia that was led by Robert E. Lee, the famous Army of Virginia that had won many battles but was losing battles at that point, been beaten back by General Grant and was in retreat. Finally, Lee had exhausted his options. Seemed there was no option left but to surrender. He is reported to have said, "There is nothing left me to do but go and see General Grant, and I would rather die 1,000 deaths." But General Lee made a decision to surrender his army. He could have, possibly he could have made a last stand and fought to the last man. But he made a decision not to do that because he seen that doing that would have caused more destruction and death than was necessary. I think he realized that he was beaten, he was defeated, and that he should instead surrender and give control over to the Union forces. Surrendered to the will of my Father. The Christian life is a life of surrender as well. But there's some differences. We're not fighting against an enemy as such, but often we find ourselves fighting against what God's will is for our life. And yes, God's not our enemy, but there's something in us that does resist, at times resist what God wants for our life. We need to lay down our swords and stop fighting against His direction, His will. When the rebel army surrendered, they did not know what General Grant would require of them. He could have taken them prisoner, held them as prisoners of war. Instead, he did allow them to return to their homes in peace after they turned in their weapons. They could go back to their families, and that was instrumental in rebuilding of the country when they were able to return to their families. And it was the start of the healing that took place in the Reconstruction after the Civil War. This morning I want to look at our example, Jesus. Draw some inspiration from His willingness to be surrendered to the will of His Father, of our Father. Probably somewhat brought me to this message is what we're facing in the next week and a half or 2 weeks, a work of an ordination. And we're looking to God for leading in a special way. And I believe it's going to take a surrender of our wills to God's will. We need to be ready to lay down our own will, an agenda, our desire, our plans, and accept the will of God. For the congregation, for all of us, that's going to mean accepting the leader that God has chosen to lead, for the one to be a leader in our congregation. For possibly for a group, it will mean being willing to share that lot for a minister ordination, to be willing to lay down and surrender and place that before God. And for one man, it's going to mean the surrender of time and energy to serve where God is called. And I know each one of us will be affected in the weeks ahead. I think we all need to be willing to lay down, surrender our will, and accept what God has for us. I think as we do that, it's going to make it easier and better, and will bring peace in our hearts as we face the coming weeks. Where better would you want to be than where God wants you to be? Even if it's an area that is uncomfortable, but rather let's submit and surrender to Him. For an opening passage, you can turn to Matthew 16. Surrender in the Christian life isn't a popular view today. many today would like to be able to keep their own plans, keep their own things going, and have their Christian life be kind of a sideline or a side note off to the side. Matthew 16, I want to read verses 24 through 28 in introduction here. Why don't we all stand together while we read to these verses? I'm going to read 24 through 28. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. You may be seated. Verse 24 in this passage, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Talks of surrender, denying self, denying our own will, our own desires, and following Jesus and his will. Denying self, I believe, means our will needs to die. Our will needs to take second place or die. Are you following Jesus? Are you denying self and taking up that cross? It's more than a one-time experience. Yes, when we give our heart to Christ, there is that denying of self and taking up the cross. But the account in Luke says take up the cross daily. It's a daily experience. It's a daily surrender. I believe it implies an ongoing surrender, something we need to do every day, a choice you and I need to make to surrender our will to His will. Take up the cross and follow. Is surrender necessary to be a Christian? I said it's not a popular opinion or a popular teaching today. I believe it is. I believe it is imperative for us. Luke 14:33 says, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If we're not willing to lay down our will, lay down our desire, lay down what we have, we cannot be his disciple. And I believe we know that disciples, a Christian is a disciple of Jesus. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. What a disciple means, follower. We need to be surrendered to him in all areas of life. We need to yield lordship to Jesus and have him be our captain, have him be our general. I want to look at Jesus, the perfect example of surrender. Look a little bit at his life and gain some inspiration from his surrender to his Father. Even though he was God, he was here in the human flesh and a human person. You can turn to Luke chapter 2. The first point under Jesus' life of surrender I have as a young child. Luke 2. In verses 51 and 52, this is after Jesus was 12 years old. His parents had taken him to Jerusalem. And if you recall, when they returned home, they were unable to find him. And they went back and searched for him, found him in the temple, talking with the leaders, the temple leaders. And they reprimanded him, chided him for this. And he said, Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? But then notice verse 51 and 52. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Notice Jesus here was surrendered or submissive to his parents. Even though Jesus knew he was called to a great work, he had just said in the verses before that he must be about his Father's business. I believe he was referring to his work that he knew was coming to be an example and do the work that God had for him. He still was obedient to them. He went down with them, was subject unto them. Surrender and submission is something that needs to be learned early in life. We teach our children they must obey the authorities in their life. And simple obedience, even if it's not, doesn't make sense. It doesn't always make sense to children what we ask them to do. But they need to learn surrender, even when it doesn't make sense. Simple obedience, even if they feel they know better, is a foundation that will be a great benefit later in life. Obedience to parents is taught first, but expands to school teachers, Sunday school teachers, etc. As they grow older, they learn that they need to be submissive and subject to the authority they're under. I think that's a foundational principle that will help us as we then face what God's will is for our life. Notice in the last verse, verse 52, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Is that coincidental that that comes after it says that he was subject unto them? I believe his obedience and submission to his parents was directly related to how those around him were impressed with his, it says they were, he increased in favor with God and man. I believe those around him seen him and they were impressed with his obedience. They were inspired by it. They were amazed at his cheerful obedience. The second thought on Jesus living a life of surrender, he lived a life of service. In John chapter 6, I'll read one verse there. This is Jesus speaking, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus was living a life of surrender to his Father as he lived his life of service. His ministry here on earth was not a glorious ministry in that it was that he had, yes, he did have 12 disciples that came after him, but I don't believe they were necessarily like bodyguards and that they did everything for him. I believe Jesus lived a life of sacrifice and service that was a surrender, something he had to give up. He had to give up the comforts of a home. He had nowhere to call home. He had to give up a lot of his time. We'll look at a few of those. He was rejected by his own town. In Luke chapter 4, early in his ministry, he came to Nazareth, the same town that he was in. We read there in Luke 2, where he was respected and he increased in favor with God and man. When he came there, as he began his ministry, he was rejected by those that knew him, those who were closest to him. He was followed by large crowds to the point he didn't have much time to be alone. When Jesus, right before he fed the 5,000, Jesus had wanted to get away. It said that he had was going to find a quiet place to be alone with his disciples, but the people came flocking after him. Jesus had to surrender to live that life of service, had to surrender to his Father's will. Today we are all called to follow our Master and to live a life of service. Are we surrendered to what God calls us to? Are we willing, like Jesus, to say, "Not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me"? Sometimes those calls come in big ways, but probably more often, that call comes in small areas that God is asking us to be surrendered to Him and live a life of service. He's looking for willing servants today to do His will here on earth. Are you willing to take up those responsibilities when called? Sunday school teachers, I just posted the next year's Sunday school teacher class, teachers in the back. Maybe should have been an added to the announcements, but take a look at that. Are you willing to serve where you've been assigned by the superintendents? Willing to put time into study, time into teaching a lesson. It's an area that we have to lay down some of our own desires and our own things we could do on a Saturday afternoon or evening to spend time to be prepared. Devotional leaders, being willing to allow God to use us to bless the congregation by studying His Word and finding a passage that inspired us and sharing it. Even if we feel like we're not able to be profound or have something new and exciting, God's Word is inspiring, even if it's some of the most familiar passages that are there to look at again and again. Being willing to live a life of surrender that's used in service. Being surrendered, have a life, yes, first of all, that is, first of all, has a personal walk with Him that will then lead out into these other areas that we can be of service. Maybe as a young person, you're called to be a school teacher or serve a time of service, Shepherd's Fold or VS service elsewhere. Are you willing to allow God to use your talents in His kingdom? A life of surrender and service. All of these examples require some surrender, giving of our time for Him. Do we resist and hold out, unwilling to be used where God wants us? Jesus said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You can turn over to Matthew 26. The third area in Jesus' life I want to look at was His surrender in the garden. This is likely what you thought of when you thought of Christ, Jesus surrendering to God's will for His life. Well, notice a few things about this in this passage. We're going to read Matthew 26, 36 to 46. In these verses, we see Jesus struggling to accept and struggling to surrender to God's will for His life. Even though I believe He came here to this earth full well knowing that's where He would be, that's what He would do, there was still a human struggle that He faced. I want to read these verses. We'll look at a few things here. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. As we look at these verses, we see Jesus' journey with surrender, surrendering his will to God. First thing I want to notice is the prayers, the prayer that Jesus turned to. When Jesus was faced with the battle of his will and with the will of the Father, he turned to prayer. He was ready to tell his Father about it. Is that how it is for us when we struggle with surrender? Are we willing to turn to God in prayer and ask him to help us? Yes, maybe ask him to deliver us from what, but then to end that prayer with, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When we pray, are we asking God to help us accept his will for us? Second thing I noticed is Jesus surrounded himself with friends. I think this shows the humanity of Jesus. Here in some of his most intense struggles that Jesus had to accept God's will for his life and death, he wanted to be surrounded by his friends. He wanted to have those that he was closest to. Notice he didn't take all the disciples. He asked some of them to wait farther away in the garden, but he took his three close friends that were especially close to him. When I face a time in my life when I need to surrender my will, am I willing to share that struggle with my closest friends? Am I willing to be open with them, ask them for support? God created us as beings that need friendship, fellowship, companionship, and especially when we're facing trying and hard times, we need the support of those close to us. You see Jesus' humanity. Jesus was, even though he was the Son of God, he still had those human needs for companionship, for those near him, to support him. And we see how it seems the disciples failed him miserably. They fell asleep. They kept dozing off and falling asleep. Jesus still came back to them again and again and asked them to pray for him. In verse 41, he said, Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think he was telling them, pray for me, because I want to do this, but my flesh is holding back. The third thing I noticed, the battle was not won with the first prayer. Jesus went and prayed. He came back, talked to his disciples. He went and prayed again. Came back, found them sleeping. He left them there and went and prayed the third time. He poured out his heart to God in prayer, asking his Father to relieve him of the cup of suffering that he knew was coming. But when we see the surrender in the nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus was surrendering his will to the will of his Father. It appears, though, that it didn't happen at that first time, that he had to come back again and again, three times. In verse 41, he said, His spirit is willing, but his flesh is weak. I believe we can take from this, we should not be surprised to struggle in life when we're asked by God to surrender our will. We shouldn't be surprised if there is a struggle with surrender at times. Jesus struggled with it. But he went back to God again and prayed again the second and then the third time. I think we should pray till we can rest in God's will for our life. When I face a place in life that I'm asked to give up my will and I find it hard to submit or surrender, I must continue asking God to work in my life and make me willing to accept His will. Notice the peace that it seems Jesus found in these verses after he came back the third time. And maybe, I don't want to read between the lines, but it seems like he was at a peaceful place. He said, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." A sense of peace in Jesus of like, let's move on, let's go. It's time to move on. Everything will be okay. I'm ready to face what's ahead. He was ready to face the mob. He knew what was coming. He knew the trial that was coming. He knew his disciples would forsake him. The mocking, the scourging that was coming. But he remained calm. Remember in the other account where Peter took the sword to the servant of the high priest and Jesus told him to put his sword away. You don't need that. And then he healed that man. Jesus had a calm, accepting, surrendered. After this third prayer, I believe he was ready to accept what God had for him. There's rewards in surrender. A few of them I listed, and maybe they overlap a lot. But there was peace. Notice the peace that Jesus had here in these verses. I think there was peace in surrender. When General Lee surrendered at the end of the Civil War, it brought peace. The fighting stopped. So it is today when we surrender to the will of God in our lives. It brings peace because we accept what God has for us. We aren't fighting against that. Surrender brings joy. When we know we've surrendered to the will of God, it brings us joy. We don't need to worry about the details. We can trust in Him and His grace to face the challenges that come. It can bring a settled joy to our heart. Victory in surrender. And maybe that seems like a paradox to have victory when we surrender. I don't believe General Lee felt like he was the victor in that surrender that he had. But when we give up our wills and accept what God's will, it's a huge battle won. And instead of looking as though we're on opposing sides or God's on the opposing army, I think instead we're surrendering to our captain. We're surrendering to our general and falling in step with our commander, and that will ensure a victory. When we surrender, we will find victory. When we lay down and rest in the promises of God's word, He is faithful in whatever He sends our way. There's power in surrender. Notice the power that Jesus had when He surrendered to quietly accept whatever came. He was accused of many things when He stood before the high priest in that trial there before the high priest. And He stood there quietly. They accused Him of blasphemy. They accused Him of lying. And He quietly accepted it. His Father gave Him the power to quietly accept what was coming. Submit to the will of the Father. I think as long as we're fighting against God's will, we won't find the power that is there. But when we finally give up and say, "God, You can have Your way in my life," we'll have power to accept what comes our way. And there's freedom in surrender. When we lay down our will, lay down our plans and our agenda and say, "God, whatever You want me to do, I'm willing to do it." It brings freedom to us. We're no longer the one that's in charge, but we've given it over to God and He's in control. And freedom from worry and fear, because we have chosen to trust God. Allow Him to guide us. Surrender. As we surrender to God's will, bring freedom from temptation, the temptation to try to reason through all the aspects of the future. We can trust Him for that. We don't know how we'll face everything in the future. We don't know what all will come our way, but when we're surrendered to God and His will, we can trust Him for the next step. Even if we don't see the whole path. Maybe it's a little bit like having a flashlight. You can see a few steps in front of you, but you can't see the road 200 yards ahead. God's not asking us to have it all planned out in the future. He's asking us to take the next step. And when we're surrendered to His will, it will bring freedom to move forward. So the choice is ours. Are we going to resist? Are we going to kick against the pricks as Saul did for a while before he was willing to surrender? We could have looked at his life this morning. He was one who fought against that for a while. But then when he surrendered, we look at what God could do when he used him. God won't force us to take his will for our lives, but he's asking us to surrender to him. Are you willing to lay down your will and accept God's will? Let's find rest and surrender as we surrender to his will for our lives.